Second Epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, from the verse number 9.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen.
In the verses 9 and 10, Paul is writing to Timothy, Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescent to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. And then, in the verse 21, Paul is urging again, Timothy, do thy diligence to come before the winter. The rest of this verse 21 are greetings. Eubulus greeted thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Demas has forsaken the Apostle Paul, and the motive for that, the reason for that, Demas loved this present world. It looks like that the other two disciples and fellow workers in the gospel with the Apostle Paul, Crescent and Titus, had their godly assignments, and along their line of duty they have departed. But Demas had a different reason for leaving the Apostle Paul, actually forsaking him. In the second part of the verse 21, we can see that if not in the same chains and shackles with the Apostle Paul, but apparently in the same location, there are other disciples, four outstanding fellow workers, and additional number of believers. The Apostle Paul was not all alone in that location. And yet, in the verse number 9 and the first part of the verse number 21, he is urging Timothy to come to him, apparently as soon as possible. I do not know exactly what was the work, the ministry of Demas before he had forsaken the Apostle Paul. I think as many disciples as there were cooperating and laboring with the Apostle Paul at any time, all of them were busy and there was no surplus. I do not know how significant was the ministry of Demas, but we do know that every time when some of the disciples turned away from following the Lord, there was a deep grief in the heart of the apostle. In the Epistle to the Galatians, in chapter 4, verse 19, Paul wrote, My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. In the Epistle to Philippians, chapter 3, the Apostle wrote to the disciples, verses 17 through 19, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, who mind earthly things." I think the Apostle Paul has a heart now that has been wounded with the loss of some souls that for a time served the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is calling Timothy urgently, "Come, be diligent to come, come soon, come before winter." Timothy was such a faithful disciple, had a great gift and blessing from the Lord, a gift and a blessing of loyalty, full cooperation, from the heart doing the will of the Lord, filled with the Spirit of our Lord and Savior. Just listen for a moment to the reading from the Epistle to Philippians, chapter 2, from the verse number 19 to the verse number 23.
"But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me."
Timothy's help, encouragement and comfort to the Apostle Paul reminds me on Simon the Cyrenian in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. This Simon carried the cross of the Lord after the Lord to Golgotha. I think the time came when both Simon and Timotheus, together with many others that were blessed with the burden of the cross, sharing with the other faithful ones, will glorify God around the throne for the privilege and the honor of bearing the cross together with the others. Blessed is the testimony of the faithful, but sad and tragic is the result of turning away from following the Lord. Here we have no evidence that Demas committed some open sin, that he manifested real open rebellion against the Lord. All we have seen here recorded that Demas has forsaken the Apostle Paul because Demas loved this present world. Somehow the temporary became more important than the everlasting. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, from the verse number 15 to the verse number 17, we can find this record:
"Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
It is so important for every one of us to be always on guard and always prayerful, searching our own heart and questioning our own ways. Are we following the Lord or paying too much attention to the desires of the world? In the Psalm 139, last two verses, David is saying to the Lord, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the first part of the verse number 11, Paul is writing, only Luke is with me, which could mean that the other disciples, whose names are listed in the verse number 21, might have been there occasionally or frequently, but Luke was there all the time. So by the providence of our Heavenly Father, and in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bestowed upon the evangelist Luke, these important and precious moments of the last days of our Apostle Paul's ministry have been carefully recorded for the disciples afterward, and even for us today. The following words are very encouraging. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry. In the book of Acts, chapter 12, in the verse number 25, we read, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. In the next chapter 13, verse number 13 is this record. When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. No explanation at that time. Why did John return to Jerusalem? In Acts chapter 15, from the verse number 36, we can find another record about John Mark.
And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches.
In this passage we can see how important it was for the Apostle Paul that those who are helping him in preaching the gospel, preaching to the Gentiles, be also good example in the faith, endurance, and zeal for the Lord. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul is stating that Mark is profitable to the apostle in the ministry. This could mean that the heart and the mind of John Mark has changed, that at this time he might be more mature, more stable, more determined to serve the Lord. This also could mean that all the ministries are not the same, and not every ministry is for any of the disciples, nor is every disciple for any particular ministry. It could be that Mark was able and willing to minister to the Apostle Paul when he, the Apostle, was a prisoner. And earlier, when the Apostle was passing through many turbulences and a lot of danger and a lot of suffering, that was too much for John Mark. It is obvious in the scripture that we witnessed change of hearts of some men, some believers, sometimes changing for better and sometimes changing for worse. It is good for us to continue in prayers that the Lord would guide us and protect us, increase our faith and zeal for Him, and bless us with growing in faith, growing in the knowledge of the Scriptures, growing through the experiences to know and trust the will of the Lord, to remember His many deliverances, and not to forget how many times we fear, how many times we keep anxieties in our hearts, only to see that in the end the Lord is always victorious. He never failed, and He never left alone His own that follow Him faithfully. In the verse number 12, Paul wrote, "Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus." I would think that Timothy also was at Ephesus. Apparently there was a continuous traffic of the news coming from Paul to the disciples and from the disciples to the apostle. There was a continuous apostolic care and cooperation from the disciples with the apostle and among themselves. In this same chapter 4, in the verse number 7, Paul wrote, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." And yet, even though seeing that the time of his departure is at hand and the end of his race is very close, Paul keeps running. He is very busy. He is going to serve the Lord for the benefit of the disciples and for the blessing to the body of Christ until his very last moment in this time of battle, laboring fervently to the end of his journey. In the verse number 13, Paul is asking Timothy to bring back to Paul his cloak. The winter is coming, and the prisoner has no abundance of supply and not too many caretakers to help him with his needs. This also may give us a hint that most of the disciples were not wealthy people, and yet they did travel when traveling was very costly. The fruit of their labor was gospel work, and their investment was bringing the news of the gospel to the others that are in need of salvation. Paul is also asking Timothy to bring Paul's books. I think by now Paul knew the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and most of the records of that gospel teaching almost by heart, if not word by word, but the meaning, the message, the teaching, the doctrines, that was all in the heart and mind of Paul, as it was as if he was a living library of the gospel. Yet the books are very precious. The books were the inspired word of God, produced not the inspiration but the writing. The books physically produced by the zeal and sweat of the disciples. And beside his great knowledge of the word of God, Paul is still and maybe even more enjoying reading these books, and I perceive that he is also very serious in considering to whom he is going to leave these books, to enjoy them and to benefit from these books after Paul's departure. In the following two verses, verse number 14 and the verse number 15, Paul is writing, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." It seemed to me that this name Alexander is frequently in the scriptures, and it would not be an easy and certain thing to figure out which of the few Alexanders this one was. It could be that this is the only time that we read about this Alexander, but it also could be the case that he is one of those of whom we read before. In any case, we can conclude that Paul often had very strong and difficult opposition to his preaching the gospel. And I believe that Paul is not writing here, "The Lord reward him, Alexander, for his evil deeds, according to his works," in a desire for vengeance or with a prayer for the Lord's judgment upon this man, nor that the Lord would keep this man from repenting and turning to the Lord wholeheartedly. Rather, Paul is telling us that we are not going to judge nor to condemn any of our enemies, pronouncing final judgment against them. We will leave that judgment in the hands of the Lord, the righteous judge, who is going to give mercy and grace to everyone sincerely repenting from his or her sins, but who also will judge the iniquity of every person that refused God's grace and mercy. All we need with this kind of people that persist in their evil, to be careful to avoid giving them opportunity to do us harm or evil. Yes, we should be prepared to suffer and to endure, but also we want to be careful and cautious, to be on guard, not to offer anyone an opportunity of doing evil. In the verse number 16, Paul is saying, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." In the following verse, verse number 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Is the Apostle Paul referring to his experience in Acts chapter 21 from the verse number 18 and on, requesting Paul to give impression to the Jews in Jerusalem that he, Paul, is a very zealous keeper of the law according to their customs and traditions? Or is he talking about the same case that has been recorded in this same epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from the Apostle Paul? Could it be that Paul is referring to his first hearing before the Emperor Caesar, as Paul was about to give an answer against the accusations of the Jews in Jerusalem, that perhaps there were no believing Jews, Christians, that could testify on behalf of Paul against these false accusations? In any case, we can see that even those that are usually faithful at times will be fearful. At times there would be no disciple to raise his voice to defend the gospel of the Lord against a cruel tyrant like Caesar, emperor. all the threats of the enemy against the safety and against the life of the Apostle Paul, just like against any other believer. All the threats have but one intention: to silence the voice of the truth, to prevent the testimony of the gospel, to turn the believers away from following the Lord, and to compel them to join the world in sin. But even when no one is supporting the Apostle Paul, the Lord is standing with him and strengthening him. And the preaching of the gospel goes on and on, to become fully known, declared everywhere, to give an opportunity to know the gospel and to turn to the Lord, to all the Gentiles. This statement, "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion," the last part of the verse number 17, has been explained by some of the Bible students that the lion, or the mouth of the lion, was the cruelty of the emperor, and yet the Lord has arranged the things in such a way that Paul, at the first judgment, was set at liberty, and that he continued preaching the gospel without interruption of the Jews. Since I don't have extensive knowledge of the historical records, and especially because I'm not a very firm believer in the historical records, since I have noticed in my experience, my lifespan so far, that in any historical conflict like wars and World War I and II, each side had their own record, and the records were often very different. I am more comfortable turning to the scripture and finding out where the enemy has been pictured as a lion. In the book of the prophet Daniel, in the chapter 6, we find the record of Daniel being cast into the den of lions. The intention of the enemy was to interrupt or to break the relationship that Daniel had with the Lord. Not only Daniel did not want to quit praying to the Lord in his usual manner for a month, but also Daniel refused to hide himself. He would worship the Lord openly, in spite of the commandment of the king to the contrary. And I believe in Paul's experience, he was threatened by the power of another wild lion, like an emperor or any other power here on this earth, and yet he would not change his course. Paul continued preaching the gospel and testifying to small and to the great that only Christ is the Savior. And in true faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is ready not only to live with the Savior, but also to die with him. With Christ the Lord in his heart, with Christ the Lord on his lips, the Apostle Paul is nearing the end of his race, and in full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen."